Amen. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians this morning. I'm thankful that couldn't help. I don't know how you felt about it, but this sinner got rescued a long time ago. And I can go back in my mind eye as she was singing that about, as a five-year-old boy, I remember my dad, and he loved his dad, and I remember my grandfather, some bad life choices outside of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and had drunk himself into a place where his he was going to go to heaven in short order. And just watching as a five-year-old boy, not knowing all those things, and just how when my daddy got saved, everything changed for me. Where we went changed. The way my dad talked changed. Everything changed. And I remember the day. I'm so glad. What a good song for us this morning. But I remember all those things. And I just can remember that, when I started my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship, folks. And, I read this week, and the message itself today is... is the life. Amen. That's the title, if you want to put it in the tape room, The Life. I feel like, I've said that before, and even in myself, I when you're doing what God called you to do and what he put you to do, man, it is the life. Amen. When you get to do exactly what God, you get in on God's will. I mean, it's God's will that every man, woman, boy, girl, be saved. And then beyond that, God has made you with special talents and special gifts and things for you to be able to use for his honor and glory. And everybody, this is what the Bible says, everyone is called, but few are chosen. And the idea of that is that every one of us get the opportunity. We're called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us, every single one of us have a job to do in this life. And that is just to testify of the glory of the Lord that we have a relationship with. And beyond that, there are some of us who are chosen by God to serve him full time. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his call and his anointing on my life and for what God's got for me to do. But man, I can tell you, doing what God wants you to do, it is the life. Here in the book of Colossians, we're going to see those things, but I just began to study the word life. Every one of us had been given one life, and it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And I know this, that I'm preaching to the choir to a certain extent, that some of you are in this room, but I want to encourage you this morning that, again, sometimes we start thinking about this life and that the things that would seem that I can make myself happy. No, folks. This idea, God has laid out a plan for our lives, and us getting in line with him, it'll make us happier than we've ever been. I know that it doesn't make sense for us to, the world would tell us that we're not, for us to live unto ourselves and to make ourselves happy and to heap things to ourselves. But the scripture says to love our brethren and not just to look on the things of ourselves, but to look on the things of others. Do you know, I found in this life when I practice that out, I'm happier than I've ever been. I much more, sometimes, when you have children and it's Christmas time, it's better to give than to receive. It's real easy to see that. You, rather than receive something for yourself, you'd rather give it away. And you'd rather put something together, even though you might think it's the best thing in the world. But man, that face, that expression, the emotion upon your children's face on Christmas morning and what they receive, and how much more so when you share Jesus Christ with a sinner that's lost and on his way to hell, and you tell them about what Jesus did for you, and you watch everything change in their face, and everything, all the emotions come to a place where now I've given the greatest gift on planet Earth. I've given someone the gift of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they receive the gift that God gives them of eternal life, boy, when I get to experience that, when I get to experience watching someone else come to Christ and to realize that they have eternal life, there's nothing better on this side of heaven. There's nothing better on this side of heaven. Think about, folks, when you get in here and we get to watch somebody after the preaching's been done, someone else might have done the witnessing, and that person walks an aisle and comes down front and they receive Jesus Christ. They get baptized and join the local church. How excited you get there. How about if you take that to a personal level where it's you and them one-on-one? It's great as a congregation to see it happen, but it's a whole nother story when you get to deal with it one-on-one. When you get to share Jesus with somebody else. It's the life, folks. It's the life. I read this week, and I just want you to just bear with me a little bit, but it agitated me. There has been a multitude of people, not necessarily, I'll say it like this, our stripe, all right? But they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, educated probably beyond their own means, and this young man I read about just yesterday, his name is Paul Maxwell. He's written many books, and I've not read anything he's done. I do know of him, but wouldn't ever stand in our pulpit and preach, and not our stripe. But he is someone who has claimed to be a Christian and has written many books on the subject, and there's multitude. I could name off another six that in the last probably 6 months that were Christians or so-called have come out and said, I no longer believe in Jesus Christ. I am no longer a Christian. And I just want to tell you this, folks, because of what she sang today, I just want you to know they must not have had what I got when I got saved. They must not have had the experience that I got. It wasn't an educational choice that I made. Although the more I studied Lord Jesus Christ, the more he cannot be denied. But I remember the day that the relationship between me and him took action. I remember the day that my daddy got saved and it changed my life. I remember the day that all those things took place and I realized that this life is the only life that's worth living. I realized that this side of heaven, I didn't just start living life when I got saved for this life, but eternally. My eternal life started the day that I got saved, and everything that's done on this side of heaven is counting towards a life that's going to continue on and continue on and continue on. Amen and amen. You say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, I just got excited about it. Look at the scripture, if you would. Look at chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to go back in context and tackle chapter 1. The terminology here, the life in Christ. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. The hope of the Christian, folks, if I could just say this, I just spoke to somebody this morning. Brother Jack stopped me and said, hey, I want to tell you about one of the people that I minister to over here to Palm Crest. He said that I was preaching and teaching Sunday school, and she said, listen, when's he coming? He was going through the book of Revelation, and he was talking about Jesus' return, that he's coming back for his saints. Listen, we've got a great hope, a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one day we are not going to suffer this life out and die and never have anything else. There are people that believe they're going in the grave and they're numb and coming out. But I tell you, the life that I live and the life is about one day, whether I die and I'm buried or whether I'm looking for the upper taker and Jesus breaks through the sky and the trumpet sounds and we that are dead and the dead and the Christ will jump up and there we're going to meet them in the air. I'm excited about they got 6 foot farther to go than me. They're just getting a head start so they can catch up because I'm going to take flight. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to looking in the eyes of my grandfather who didn't live his life right, who didn't have a Christian life to live, who never got the benefits of Christ that I got as being saved as a young person and living for him my whole life long. But I remember my dad getting saved and my grandfather having all those struggles and being unhealthy. My dad had to quit high school at 16 and take over the family business because he had brothers in Vietnam and his dad was so sick he couldn't work anymore. My dad worked and carried the business on. But I remember how he loved his dad, and I remember how when he got saved, his love changed, and it wasn't about keeping his earthly life, but where his eternal soul would spend eternity. I remember my dad weeping at night and praying to God, oh, save my dad. And I remember the last time my grandfather went to the hospital. the last time he didn't ever come home. And I remember my dad going to that place and my dad begging him upon his knees. He said, please let me get the preacher. Please let me bring the preacher in here. My dad had just been saved maybe a month before. He said, I don't know how to tell you what happened to me, but you need what I got. You need desperately the life that I'm going to be able to live. And I remember my grandfather said, fine, bring him in here. And the preacher that I grew up under made his way into the hospital as a little boy. Three generations of Parsons stood in a hospital room. And my grandfather bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. And listen, I know one day when the trumpet sounds, one day when the trumpet blows forth, if I'm on this side of the grave, I bless God, I'm excited about one day I'm going to be headed up to heaven. I'm going to be headed up to see my Savior first of all, but I'm going to look over and probably, maybe I'm hoping, this is the way I'm, you know, you say, well, that's just supposition. Listen, you tell it like you want to tell it when you get your chance, amen? And I'm on my way up. I'm going to look over and see my grandfather, and he's not going to look like what I saw him like as a five-year-old boy. He's not going to be sickly and like he used to be. He's going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to see him on the way up, and I'm going to know who he is, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm on my way to see Jesus. And he said, I'm on my way with you, boy. I can't wait to see him in his face, look him eye to eye, and tell him thank you for what he gave me when he got saved. Hey, I don't know about you, but Jesus is on my way. I mean, he's on his way. I know that. This lady said, listen, why is he taking so long? I don't know why he's taking so long. Why is he holding up? Everything has been fulfilled. And I'm not trying to preach prophecies this morning. I'm just trying to preach my heart. Can I just tell you that the life that to be lived is for Jesus Christ? Amen. And one of the things, if we knew it was going to take 20 years, if we knew that 20 years from now we had, can you imagine how Christians would live if they thought it took 20 years? We would probably not live the life the way he wrote it down in the book, but we'd put it off, and we put it off. We live a life of procrastination as it is now, folks. We live a procrastinating life of, I'm going to read more Bible down the road. I'm going to get more involved down the road. I'll get more invested someday, but I'm here to tell you, listen, that someday is going to come in the twinkle of an eye. At the sound of the trumpet, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. That's why he didn't tell us today. That's why he didn't tell us when he was going to return. That's why he didn't tell us, hey, it's tomorrow. He said it could be tomorrow. Coming as a thief in the night, catching us away. Listen, I want to show you something. Look at chapter number 1. I want to show you this Jesus. This person that is the life. He says in chapter 3, you look at chapter 1 and verse 12, he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So who is our life, folks? We are hid in him. Christ is our life. If Christ is our life, I want to show you something in chapter 12. If you're saved and he is your life, then number 1, I want to say Christ is the source of life. If you don't realize it or not, Christ is a creator God. A lot of times we think of God the Father, but listen, the Bible is going to tell us here in the book of Colossians that not only is he a part of God, Jesus is God, but it was Jesus who was the creator, who stepped out on nothing and created all things. And it's going to say by him all things consist. Look at the scripture with me today. He says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Look at verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ is the creator God. Why is he the life? Because he is the beginning of life. He is the creator of all life. He is the creator God. We often think, and I don't know about you, but growing up, most of the time we think it was God the Father, but oh no, it was God the Son who created all things, because one day he's going to gather all things into himself, the book says. It says he's going to bring it all back for himself. They were all made for his honor and glory. Jesus Christ, the creator God, the life is that we live, the source of all life is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, you say, well, I don't know. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You know the word source, it actually means this, the first producer. He on that which originates. Listen, the everything, what we know and we love, everything originated from an almighty God, but everything that we know exists and everything we know about what exists was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life because he's the source of all life. Number two, I want to say this. He is not only the source of all life, but number two, Christ is the substance of life. You say, what do you mean the substance of life? I think that he's the substance. The word substance is found when we talk about our faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll come back to Colossians if you are like me. Put something from your filing cabinet in Colossians chapter 1 because we're going back there. And I did not mark this, so you may beat me there today, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Recently, we've had people talk about this, and you say, well, how, you know, people say you can't define faith. Faith is defined in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance. Substance. Word substance. Everything is made up of a substance. If we were to take it scientifically and work through it, the word substance, we could define it several different ways. When I try to explain it to my children or to my teenagers, or I really have to really dumb it down when I go to college, in college class, but amen. Substance, the word sub, first word means under, sub. Stance, the word stance is a word we use for putting our foundation, something we get a footing on. And so if you can understand your faith, what is faith? In my relationship with Jesus Christ, it's a sub-footing or a sub-stance. It's something that I stand in that no one else can see. It's the things I stand on, and that's why we call it faith. It's an invisible God. It's a God that I can stand on. It's a rock of my house. When he says, when the winds come and the winds blow against the house, it has to be founded upon a rock. And the rock isn't somebody that you can look at. It isn't something you can see. It's something that you believe on. It's something that you've heard tell of. It's somebody that came from heaven and died on the cross for your sins and paid for your sin debt and for my sin debt. You said, did you see that? No, I didn't, but I read a Bible that told me about it. I heard a preacher that told me, and I believe by faith, and it is my substance in this life. You say, how do you know, boy? Because I've been standing in it for these some 30 years now that I've been saved, 30 beyond. You say, what, Brother Parsons, you've been saved all that time and you still believe? I still believe because it's a relationship and it is the life as far as I'm concerned. There's nobody that's going to come down the street because I got a relationship. Nobody's going to come down and tell me that my wife is not who I believe she is. Nobody's going to come down and say, your wife is an alien from heaven and all these other things, and I'm just going to take off believing. No, I live with that woman. I know who she is. I know what she's capable of. I know who she's over here is. I spent time with her. I have a relationship. And in the same way, anybody that could just up and say, I'm no longer a Christian, I don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore, is someone who has knowledge but no relationship. They've never experienced the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He claims to be not only the way and not only the truth, but the life. Folks, I really want to be living the life that Jesus wants me to live. I hope you want to live it. He's not only the source of all life, he is the substance of all life. Think about this, the word substance, it even gives us this, the way in which someone stands. Have you ever seen somebody that's a boxer? Do you know most good sports players, it's all about their footing. Everything is about their stance. When you're a basketball player, everything, it's not your arms or how good a shooter you are, it's where you plant your feet. Your footwork is what makes people a great basketball player. The way they pivot, the way they launch when they shoot, everything is footing. Everything's about having good footing. When you're a boxer, you may think, man, it's a guy that has the longest reach. No, it's the guy that can get his feet where they need to be. I know many of you, I'm not trying to glorify Mike Tyson, But if there was one guy that you could say could knock people out, all right, with a blow, and all of that, if you study him out and you understand boxing, it's because he was a short-armed, and he found a way to generate not only the power in his arms, but the power in his legs into every punch. And he could knock a man out in the first round in a few seconds because all it took was one good shot. You say, well, Brother Parsons, what has it got to do with anything? Listen, I'm here to tell you, you know all it took for me with a God in heaven, if one man could generate power from his legs, there's a man, and he was the God man who came from heaven, and it didn't take time and time again, but one good shot. He climbed up on the cross and paid for the sins of all men and died on the cross. You know, there are people that believe they got to get saved over and over and over again every time they say. There are people that believe that they got to, it's Jesus plus something else. No, no, no. Jesus is enough all by himself. He is the life. He's the source of all life. He's the substance of all life. And more than that, he's the sustenance of all life. You say, Brother Parsons, sustenance. Yes, it's food again. We're Baptists. We talk about food. Amen. Sustenance. But you know, sustenance is more than food. Do you know that you need more than food to live? You need much more than food. And so even though we oftentimes, when we talk about sustenance, because we're Baptists, we always attribute it to food. The definition of the sustenance is support, maintenance, and the subsistence of life. That means everything that goes into this life. You know that if you didn't have sunlight, you couldn't hardly survive. If you didn't have air, you couldn't survive. If you didn't have food and water and all the things that we could add to this, that is the subsistence of sustenance. And Jesus Christ is not only the substance of our life, but he's the subsistence of sustenance in my life. Do you know that he planned out everything for me? Do you know this book covers everything from my finances to where I ought to go, where I ought not to go, what I ought to eat and what I ought not eat, how I ought to dress and how I ought to walk, how I ought to talk. This book covers everything about my sustenance in this life. If I'm going to be a Christian, I better be in the book. The one that he said that I am the bread of life. If anybody is going to be living the Christian life and living the life the way Jesus Christ wants us to live it, we've got to be living in him and in his word. I don't know how in the world people make it day to day without spending a daily time in the word of God. If you really want to have the life, well, the life is not going so well. The Christian life isn't what I thought it was going to be. Well, maybe you're not getting all the sustenance that you need. I want you to know more than anything, God's people, you have the ability through the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer and his word, he is there to illuminate, have everything you need to live a successful Christian life on this side of heaven. Well, you say, what is the third part? God puts all things together. You think about the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the local church. You need a place to meet together and realize you're not the only one trying to do it by yourself. You're not the only one. Listen, and even God knew for us to reach the world or our local area, it was better if we joined together in a body of believers that believe the book together and go out and try to complete the Great Commission. Yes, it is to his church, not just to the individual believer. Look, there's no hope in this life for us if God wants us to have that thing, if all that he did was tell his disciples to go out and be a witness. No, those disciples were the beginning or the first church that Jesus ordained, started, and it continued, and it gave us, passed down through the ages, the greatest commandment or the great commandment or the great commission, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them everything that we've been taught. We've got a great job to do. It's a great life to spend in the things of God. I don't know about you, but I like having a challenge. I've never been one of those kind of people that want to just fly by and ride by. I want to have something that's bigger than me that I'm a part of, something that I can get tied into, something that I can get behind and show. shove. I can't help but drive by. Somebody broke down car. I got to pull off and help push it. Amen. I want to get in on something that needs help. And listen, the local church, that's a great command that to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have a mission gauge that we give to because we're not just trying to look to win Haines City and Winter Haven and Davenport and all the surrounding areas, but we're trying to win the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to have a part of all these things. You say, Brother Parsons, is that really? Listen, that's the sustenance of this life. How in the world could you ever go through life? Now, there's times of fasting, but you don't fast from the Word of God. Do you know that there are all types of things that we fast? In this life, to be healthy, we can fast. I believe it's a good part of life. If you read the scripture, you'll realize that God has made a way for you to purify and to cleanse your body, and one of those ways is fasting. But the one thing that you cannot fast from is from the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would even say the third one is the local church. We are living in an age where people have tried to take the internet and plug in. Now, it's good to hear preaching, but it isn't like being here. And listen, I don't care what anybody says. Jesus knew the age of time that we're in, but he still didn't make any provisions. There's no prophecies of us watching it online. You cannot substitute just preaching for meeting in God's house with God's people. The singing is not the same. You take the same singing that happens in the building and you can see the emotion and what you feel, and it don't feel that way when you listen to it just over the air. It can help you. It can encourage you, but it isn't the same as being in the building and watch the person that you know that is struggling with things, the person that's human just like you are, the person that's trying to do their best to live a Christian life, looking up at the choir and all of them singing together and seeing the camaraderie and how they follow the song leader. It's not the same as listening to it over the air. Being in the building and watching those things, it changes things, doesn't it, folks? And then, listen, you could hear the best message ever preached on tape, but it ain't nothing like it was if you were in the building. And you were in the place, and you could see the preacher turn three shades of red when he got mad at the devil and his armies and everything else. It was looking like, you know, when you say, man, he sounds like he's about to pop a gasket, and somebody says, you should have seen him when he preached it. Amen? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, there's nothing. This substance, it's like for me, I could spend my life. Think about the substance. I like going home and letting my wife cook a home-cooked meal. There ain't nothing like pulling up to the table and my wife, all right, I'll call it like I do at home, mama making fried chicken, amen, and putting it on the table and having a big old thing of rice, amen, or mashed potatoes, and not the fake ones, real ones, bless God. Amen. No peanuts anywhere near anything. And pulling up and filling up at home. Burger King can't get that done for me. Amen. McDonald's can't get that done. Amen. I could try to reproduce it by pulling up at Bob Evans, who says, come eat with our family. It's their slogan there. It ain't like eating mama's food. It's the same beans. And it's some mashed potatoes, and it may be fried chicken, but it ain't like pulling up to the table at home. Amen. The fellowship's different. Amen. The feel is different. Hey, folks, can I just tell you that sustenance, I can go out and try to replace it in other places, but it ain't never as healthy as pulling up to home. Pulling up to the table that God set for me, around his house and his people, my family, his family. Folks, you say, you're making much of it. I'm just trying to tell you today, we got to be careful that we don't let the world deceive us in all these different ways and tell us that this life that we live, we can change it and ordain it the way we want to. We can have it. Listen, this ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. We got to have it God's way. If we're going to live the life, it's his life, and we're hid in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has set order in the Christian life, and his house is a main part of it. Amen. Lastly, Christ is the source of all eternal life. Amen. You say, well, that's just an obvious statement. Not to everybody. You know, we live in a world that thinks that they can go to heaven their way. Not only do they think they can have church their way, but they think they can go to heaven their own way. We live in a world where a political system wants to be, educated beyond bounds, and it's okay to pray in everybody's name except for Jesus's. And the reason is he's the only one they're scared of. Because he's the only one that's real. You can pray to Allah, but you can't pray to Jesus because Allah ain't going to answer. You can pray to Muhammad, but he ain't going to answer because he's still in the grave. You can pray to Buddha all you want because Buddha ain't going to answer. You can pray to anything else, any elephant, monkey, or anything else in this world that you want to pray to. But if you pray in the name of Jesus, things happen. And don't make any mistake. The politicians know that. And don't be coming in here preaching something that's real. Don't come in here preaching anything that's really going to change things. Say, Brother Parsons, oh, that went on by the... No, folks, we live in that day. You think if they can, they're going to... Listen, we've got... these people, this guy that's in the White House today, you know, he's going to be on both sides of the aisle. That's a bunch of junk. He ain't even in any aisle. He's in his own basement still, writing executive orders, doing what he wants. He don't have no care about anybody or anything except for his agenda and bringing in a one-world government. You ought to mark her down and understand that the whole world, even our states, all the 50 states are consistently trying to take action to block what's coming out of the White House. He is not a president of the people. All right? And if I really, listen, I'm not wound up enough to tell you what I really think he is. Because I'd rather tell you who Jesus is. Amen. Jesus is not only the source of all life and the source of this, the beginning of life and the substance of life and the sustenance of life, but he's also the source of eternal life. Amen. Jesus left heaven. Real, all these other things, everybody else that worships all these other things. When he said that day, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know that no one else even claims to get you to the Father? They want to replace the Father. Some of those men that died and are still in the grave said, search on, continue on for truth. Folks, I found the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to live this life to its fullest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not half in and half out of his church. Not in, half in and half out of his doctrine. Not half in and half out of his supply and his sustenance for me. I want to live wholly the life that God wants me to live. I believe I'm preaching to a people that want that. But if you're here and you don't even know, you've never experienced any of those things, it's because you've not accepted the source of eternal life. That same Jesus that we talked about and we preach and get excited about, and sometimes I say it way too fast. That Jesus, before the foundation of the world, before they ever created, before he spoke all those things into existence, that source of all life, before he knelt down on that day and made a man in his own image and created him and formed him out of the dirt of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that same Jesus had already with his Father, knowing full well of all things that would transpire after that day, knew that that man that he was going to form out of the dirt and that earth and all the things that they created on it would have to, that they would fall into sin, and they knew that he would have to give his own life to be able to purchase it back into himself, to pay for their sin debt. I can only imagine. You say, well, how did he form a man out of dirt? I would say this. Can you imagine Jesus if he cried great drops of blood, sweated great drops of blood in the garden? Can you imagine what it was like when he was making the first man? There are others that talk about his spittle and making clay and put it on the eyes. I can only imagine that the man, dust mixed with the tears of an almighty God, weeping, knowing that he was going to have to pay for the sins of every man that this man would produce. Knowing about the cross that he would have to endure and the shame so that he could redeem the line of Adam back into himself. But I'm thankful that the second Adam came from heaven one day. He was born of a babe in a manger, fulfilled all the prophecy of Scripture, not just coming, but where he was born, what he would say, what he would do. A few weeks ago, preached about how he triumphantly rode into Jerusalem. And then just like it said in the book, he was lifted up and died for every man. But I'm thankful that the story didn't end there, as we preached last Sunday. Just as it, the same as it was predicted that he would die, the same prediction said, in 3 days, I'll rise again. Amen. And he came forth and now sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back for you and I. That eternal life that began for me so long ago, if you're here and you've not been saved, it can start for you today. If you'll just come and receive the source of all life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and stand to your feet with me today? If you're a believer, if you would begin to pray for those that don't know Christ. We didn't have a ton of visitors, but if you're here and you've been in church and you've put off having this relationship, maybe you're one that you've been in church a long time, but you've been putting off salvation. You know that God's revealed to you that you're lost. You've never really received Jesus as your Savior. Would you come today and receive Him as your own Savior? Begin the life that God wants you to really live today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you're like that this morning, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, one anywhere? Is there anyone in the building that would say, Brother Pastor Parsons, pray for me? I don't see any hands this morning. But even if you didn't slip up your hand, maybe you would meet me in the front as Brother Bert begins to sing, Come and Receive Christ this morning.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
Some have come. It's your opportunity to come down and receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to move your membership. You've been here a while, and man, this is your church. And you know, you've made that decision. This is where I'm going to church. This is my church. Well, come and join this church. Make your way down, and if you need to do that through baptism, or maybe you're not sure, but you want to find out what it takes to join the local church. Well, we preached a lot about the local church, and I thank God for it. Changed my life. But maybe you want to join it this morning. We'll give you an opportunity, as Brother Burke sings, to come and join the church, or maybe you need to be saved. Would you step out and come right now?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many
still dealing with some, and if you would bow your heads and just pray with me right now. There are a few people being dealt with, and you still have time to come. If you'd like to step out and come, but there are a few that we're still dealing with and getting a card on, and so just pray that God will do His work.